हरि ओ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 14. It is not to be supposed that everything is done by Krishna and there is nothing to be done by ourselves in any matter. As a matter of fact, there is a division of parts to be played in functions that relate even to ourselves as between us and Krishna. Certain duties are allotted to us. Certain other functions are reserved to Krishna. Vatsasura cannot be killed by us. He is too strong for us. This is in keeping with the experience of most educationists. Juvenile innocence is a necessity for both young and old. One cannot acquire it by artificial means. No person can also ordinarily retain it after boyhood and youth. This is the real tragedy of human life. Juvenile innocence is desired on account of its enjoyability, but it should properly be desired only for the service of Krishna. The parent can have no higher duty than to employ this boy in the service of Krishna by putting him under the proper teacher, the pure devotee of Krishna. No parent is entitled to undertake the charge of spiritual training of his own boy. He is unfitted for the task by his mundane relationship. Once such relationship is grasped to be an obstacle in the way of juvenile training, the necessity of sending the boy, at least at the earliest opportunity, to the proper teacher becomes self-evident. If the parent continues to retain his parental interest in the boy after he's been put into school for the above purpose, he will only be standing in the way of the boy's progress. The training is not for the boy only, but it is a training for his parents as well. Right? So you get the both things, is that the child's being trained, and so then that is also the time for the parents to learn. They also have to be able to move on. Right? Because say what you like, is basically the window for grihastha life is 25, 30 years. That's it. It's not longer than that. And the time with the child before school, they have 5 years with them, you know, just there at home. They get directed, trained, and governed by the parents. That works nicely. But then after that, it's supposed to be their train, because the point is they have their life to go through. They have to be able to perfect their life, perform their duties within grihastha ashram, then be able to take vanaprastha, you know, detach themselves from the material world. This all is there. So the parents also have to start learning how to deal with that. Because the point is when the child is small, that attachment to them, what do? They follow the parent. But it's an illusion to think that when they get older, that expressing that attachment will just create the child's attachment to the parent. It doesn't. It creates attachment to material life, attachment to sense gratification, facilities, position, all these things, but it doesn't create it for the parents. Because right? Otherwise we see in the Western phenomena how great is the relationship between teenagers and their parents. And you may say, well, we're devotees, but then how is it we're devotees, so it should be different and everything should go perfect, but at the same time as you say, but we're devotees, we should do this. Oh, no, we're not attached to the rule. Do you understand the problem here? So the difficulty is that there's a point at which they have to be trained. Right? After that, then it doesn't happen. They're not brahmacharis. So until they go under the care of the teacher, they're not brahmacharis, they're grihasthas. Then when they go to the school, they study under the teacher, then they're a brahmachari. Whether they're a day student or whether they're a full ashram student, they're a brahmachari. Then when they graduate, then they're technically speaking, an unmarried grihastha. Then they get married. Right? But if they don't go to the study under the teacher, then they're just a grihastha all the way through. That's why it says Shudras are generally only grihastha. They're unmarried grihasthas, then they're married grihasthas. Like that. So the Brahma, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they practice brahmacharya. Right? There's a time when they're Brahma. So that has to start at some time. But if one, it's like one can't control the children because they get up and this and that, the teacher starts to be able to have that control. Because of that control, the child's nicer. Because the child's nicer, now the parent wants to be involved and cash in on this advantage. But the problem is as they cash in, it's spent. And then it's gone. And then the parent doesn't know what to do, and then they just try to take that standard thing of, hey, you know, what can you do? It's, you know, the real world, you have to be detached. You just let it. Why couldn't they have been detached when they could have benefited the child? Why now when they can do nothing? You know, it's like the Prabhupada tells the story. The man is going with a basket. I think it's Gopal Bhan. He's going with a basket of puffed rice. You know, puffed rice? Puffed rice. Koi. It's not called puffed rice, because puffed rice is muri. No, koi. Popped rice, okay, popped rice. Yeah, so it's super big and soft. You know, 1 kilo of popped rice is like a bag this big. You know, it's a huge thing. So he's going with a basket of that. And then as he's going, and he wants to, you know, he's going to offer to the deities, and then he's going to, you know, he and his family will eat. So, as he's going, the wind blows, and some of the popped rice off the top of the basket goes flying into the sky. But before it hits the ground, then he says, Govinda Namo. That's for Govinda. So he made his offering. So what's left in the basket, that's his. Right? So we have to be very careful of that, you know. Oh, now we're so attached. Yeah, what to do, you know, in life, you know, you have to be able to step back. The kids have to make their own decisions, you know, move on with life and all that. All he's saying is, I tried my best to keep total control of my kid. I absolutely couldn't. He walked out on me, and then what to do? So I'm trying to look at it philosophically. That's the reality of the translation. You know, if they're going through the training and this and that, and the kid doesn't like it and he goes out, then that's another. Then if they say that, now it has some meaning. But they won't say that. They'll say, they'll blame the school, blame the teachers, blame everybody else. But when they themselves are wrong, they couldn't control, and the kid walks out on them, then they take this philosophical. It's like Smarshan Vairagya. You know, when people die, they go down to the burning ghat, then everybody's so renounced and, you know, thinking about... Does that make sense? So that's what he's saying, is that he is unfit. No parent is entitled to undertake the charge of spiritual training his own boy. They themselves practice the spiritual life and expose that. So the child sees this is what it is, he gets that early training. You know, what's right and wrong, you know, the proper religious sentiment, the proper etiquettes, proper dealings, moods, you know, vocabulary, mannerisms, that he all gains from the parents while he's under their charge. But the spiritual training they can't do because of the proximity, it won't happen. One can say, no, I can do it, but you know, everyone says everything. Everybody's saying, I can do, you know, but and how much is reality? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is pointing out it's not how it works. It's not how it's set up. They're supposed to be trained under a teacher. That's the whole idea. Then you can try to keep this, maintain this innocence and this and that. So then it's a matter of the sadhana is there. That's the whole key. One restricts oneself to sadhana. Does that make sense? It's the sadhana that makes the thing. One has that, one has a daily schedule. So they have to go to bed at a certain time. They have to get up at a certain time. They have to do all their different things. Right? Family life is, you may have a schedule, but if you don't follow it, what's the problem? You want to go to bed at 9, you go to bed at 12. What's the complaint? Right? But if you're in an ashram, you don't go to bed at 9, people notice. There'll be a complaint. You understand? So that's the whole thing. Is the brahmacharis, the vanaprasthas, sannyasis, they control themselves through sadhana. That's the control. And grihasthas, they try their best to maintain that. But, you know, things don't always work out. Does that make sense?
Regarding this particular point where the parent should not take the responsibility of giving spiritual training.
No, he doesn't take, it's not that he doesn't take the responsibility, he doesn't take the task. His responsibility is seeing that the child is put under a proper teacher.
Yeah, but then there are a few examples, you know, of parents who do not have faith in those teachers and they impart both the material as well as the spiritual training, you know, to their kids.
And how is that working out?
Two examples is working great.
You know. Working great. Yeah. Two examples out of how many on the planet?
It should be a rare case, but then they say that the reason being why they want to train their kids, even in spirituality, is that first of all, they do not.
You do realize I'm just about to walk out. You know what I'm saying? Because my business is discussing what's reality. My position is not to fight over things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has made the point. You don't want to buy it. That's your problem. Don't try to discuss it and make your perspective bona fide amongst this group of devotees, and therefore you can go on in that nonsense. Prabhupada recommended. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says it very emphatically. So why say it's working out great? You're saying that, but a teacher who can train, will they say he's great? Just like the parent. He's saying, my kid is really educated. Will Harvard and Oxford say he's educated? Will the people in the world that have to deal with that say he's really educated? He deals nicely with his parents, so they think it's great. How does he deal with people outside of that? Will he be able to deal outside of that? So the point is unless you're qualified, how can you say it's going great? And how can you bring that up when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying no parent is entitled? That means they have no right. Means they're living out in the middle of nowhere, there is no teachers, there's nothing else, and so therefore instead of sending them to karmi school, they keep them at home, they train them at home, fine, no one's going to complain. But to say when there's full opportunity for that, and no, they're doing it themselves and it's working out brilliantly, you know, they're getting along famously, and stuff like that, why would you bring that up? Remember, this is the eighth year, we're studying 10th canto. This is Bhagavad Gita stuff. You want to fight over social issues? So then, why would you bring it up? You know what I'm saying? Because at this point, I'm not going to argue over these things. You know what I'm saying? I have to be comfortable that we're moving on, we're just trying to understand this, not find the one exception and then try to establish the one exception. What's the rule in the Veda? What's the rule on exceptions in the Veda? Do they break the rule or do they establish the rule? So then why would you bring it up? Because the rule still stands. Two people you know are doing it. Out of how many? How many kids in Mayapur? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids. There's kids here you don't even know exist. Right? The Bengali community is 200-300 kids. You don't even know they're here. Right? Then you have the Smiths, and you have the National School. You know, kids go to the Bhaktivinoda Institute up the road. You know, some parents, a couple of them, they don't put their kids in schools. So you're dealing with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids. And if two out of that, then that establishes the rules. So then you would go, yes, okay, then, yeah, nobody can do it. So these people are doing it. Maybe they're doing a great job. Fabulous. But that's them. But everybody else can't. Where did Krishna go to school? Okay, where did Lord Ramachandra go to school? Where did Lord Chaitanya go to school? Then? Why would you bring it up? Just to discuss it, just to talk about it, because it's something to talk about, it came up into the mind. Nice, but think what we're dealing with here.
Because Maharaj, all are not fortunate to have gurus in their places.
Yes, that's what I said. If they don't have a gurukul, who's complaining? But why don't we have gurukuls? Because parents don't want them. That's why. Otherwise, if parents wanted them, then, you know, what could the managers do? They'd be opening their own schools. Anyone's going to do that? No. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're dealing with the point is to catch the mood. That's what we're trying to get here. We just go off the word, oh, but this is different here. Then, but what's its purpose? What are we trying to establish? You know what I'm saying? Catch that. If these parents can do it, great. But I said, there's nothing else. There's no schools around. There's no senior people who can run things like that. They have to do it themselves. Fine, they do it themselves. But if they're here in Mayapur, then what do you mean? We got so many schools here. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're sitting in, what do you call it? Shiva Kanchi, and there's, you know, they're not in the Maya bodies, then maybe they train them themselves. But are they in Shiva Kanchi? So then? You know what I'm saying? It has to be, there is no facility. Then, yes, that they do. Just like Prabhupada preferred. You know, everybody goes to the temple for the worship. And if you're living in a place where you don't, then you have your own deities, you have your own worship, your own program. Like that. So, if you have an educational seat, then you would take advantage of that. Right? And so then that should be supported. How many parents support Gurukul? Yeah. Some they appreciate. But most of them think support means I get in there and do it myself. But then you defeat the whole point. Because each parent has a different idea how it should be run. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told this story before. School is being run over here, and then the management was changing. Because the management changed, and all the grihasthas, then they were all, you know, gleeful. That now we can set the school up the way we've always wanted to. And so the local management thought, okay, great. So they had a meeting, 6 hours a day for 10 days. All the parents got together, tried to work out what they wanted from the school. After 10 days, it was very obvious that all of them had such different opinions that they couldn't cooperate or put together anything on a piece of paper. So then it was agreed to hand it back to the management of the Gurukul. That was reality. Because that's the point. Every parent has a different idea. Because whatever their attachment is, that's the thing, that's the total thing, that package that makes the kids happy. I've had parents come there and say, oh, he can't eat this, he won't eat this, he won't eat this time, this and that and that. They go on for half an hour telling me about how you have to feed the kid. Because that's what the parent goes through to feed the kid. They leave him here and then he just sits down and eats with the other kids whatever they're eating. That's reality. Any kid, no matter how trippy, weirdo, this, that he is in eating, after 3 weeks he just eats what the boys eat when they eat and that's it. That's the way it is. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, they're not entitled to. Because they don't know how to. say what you like, they don't know. And the only parents I've actually seen that fully agree with this, understand it, and fully support the school are parents that they themselves were ashram teachers for everybody else's kid. They were in the school, they were the ashram teachers. And then when they came here and then we explained, yes, as we understand everything. Okay. That's all this one, that. This one, no, but they grow when they sleep, so, you know, the karmis say you need 12 hours of sleep, then you get your full maximum height. That's right, isn't it? We want a 7'2", you know, kid that's not Krishna conscious rather than a 6'4" kid that's, you know, Krishna conscious. You know, that's really, really, really important. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they got to eat this. They got to eat that there. Oh, you can't feed them this. Oh, you can't feed them that. Oh, they say, no. Oh, it's just like that. You know, oh, why are they wearing this? Why can't they wear that? Why do they have to get up? Why are they getting up at this time? Why can't they go to the, you know? Every parent, every last one, each one has a totally, absolutely contradictory concept than the parent next to them. And if they find some common ground on one thing, oh, now they think that they have, the empire of the world. Until they find out the next point, then they argue over anything, like which toothbrush to use or which toothpaste, like that. That's war. So that's why it's said. It's not there. I've not seen. You know what I'm saying? If someone, there's nothing there, you have to do it yourself, hey, then I understand. Totally. But to just make a principle that they have full opportunity to send their kid to proper educational facilities with proper teachers and everything, they don't do it because they're doing a much better job than any teacher could ever do. I say there isn't a case. I say the two cases that you say are the cases aren't that. Because what the teacher could do and what they could do, because then, here's the kicker, right? You won't see it now. The problem you will not see now. You will not see it as a grihastha. Where you'll see it is they will not be able to give up the grihastha life. That's where you'll see it. So you won't see it now, and it'll look fabulous, and everybody will say they did a great job. But when those people hit 50, 60 years old, they will not be able to shut things down. Why? Because there's no experience of it. You're a brahmachari. You got, you know, supposed to have two dhotis, but you lost one of them. So every night you wash it before you go to bed, right? Because it's only after 2 weeks that, you know, they give out the new cloth and then you'll get another one. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you go down to the pump, you take your stuff, you take a bath, you go back, stick it in your locker, everything fits in your locker. You know, your locker is, you know, about the size of someone's carry-on luggage. Right? How many grihasthas can live out of a carry-on luggage? Permanently. Right? Okay, they go out for a business trip, go for a few days, a week, maybe 10 days. They can do it. Right? You stay in the hotel, you know, you drop things off, they wash it at night, have it back pressed by 7 in the morning when you need it to go to the, you know, on this and that. You can do it. Businessmen do it all the time. But the permanent live, that's all you got. No, that businessman goes back to a whole wardrobe full of stuff. Right? So, you've gotten by on nothing. Whatever food they feed you, you eat. Somehow or another, you didn't die. You were in Gurukul for 10 years, you never starved. You didn't die. In fact, you're taller and fatter than you were, you know, before. Okay? So, now, living with nothing, only being engaged in devotional activities, sadhana and this and that, it went fine. So at the time you may appreciate, may not appreciate, but the interesting thing as time passes, you always look up on the past as, you know, with some nostalgia. Right? And so now, when you hit 50, 60 years old, and it's a matter of you supposed to live vanaprastha, cut down on what you have, live with minimal stuff and this and that, you can do it because the amount of stuff you'll have as a vanaprastha is probably 5 times what you had as a brahmachari. So cutting down to that's easy. But otherwise, you can't function without all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? The boys cook their own meals. How many grihasthas can even cook? You understand? So that means they can do everything. They're independent. That then makes a good grihastha. So if they've lived in the house, the mother's taking care of everything and this and that, how are they going to take care of a woman? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. If you don't have facility for it, you do the best you can. But if you have the opportunity, don't take it because you feel you can do a better job, then what's the point? Yes. Okay. They're learning the martial arts, but how did he live? Who did he live with? Right? The other boys, so they followed the thing. Right? No. Okay. Catch that part. See, if we always rationalize back to this, then it's that. Because if you take it and look at it, how did it work out for Ashwatthama? You see your shining glory of a great devotee? You know, the best example of a brahmana? So that's why these things are there. You do the best you can. You try to find. If it can be done more, you do it. Point is that we come up with these things because we're trying to hold on to attachments that we don't need to do this. Why do that? Accept it. But then I can't do this. I don't have the facility. So that would be nice, but... Yeah. Does that make sense? So if one has to, that's the only thing that's there. Yes, you do. But the point is you have to be working on that they're trained so they can be Krishna conscious. Most parents are worried education means they should be able to get a job. That's not human life. Right? You know, what the animals, what are they worried about? The kid will grow up and be able to, you know, hunt for himself. Right? So that's the whole thing. You know, it's like, you know, they always bring home, you know, the animal's always dead, right? But then one day when the cubs are a little bit bigger, they bring it home half dead. Why? Because then they have to learn how to kill it. You understand? So they're training them for, yeah, how to maintain yourself. So eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is that the animals are already doing that. So what's the difference? We're saying we're just being practical, we're just being realistic. Then agree, yes, we're just being realistic animals. But don't try to pawn it off as spiritual. That's what we're saying. And especially, why are we always trying to find the rare excuse and then it's there? Because everybody of standard, then they didn't do like that. Does that make sense? So we find what we can do and try to do that. Does that make sense? Yeah, and you have to get the effect. You say, Prabhupada didn't go to a gurukul, but he had deities. He was doing rathayatra at 5 years old. That doesn't mean just playing in his living room. He was doing a full-on rathayatra. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's at home, but he was chanting 64 rounds when he was four. And when he ate a mango when he was about that age, then he found out it wasn't offered. He made a vow that the rest of his life he would not eat mangoes, and he kept it. So if you're getting that effect, hey, do it yourself. You know? Does that make sense? The point is we're trying to understand that the juvenile innocence is being maintained. If that can be maintained, then that's what's good. So if the parents themselves can do it, then that's okay. But you have to see is that this mundane relationship is going to be very strong. So are you going to be able to give them the concept of pure devotional service, or are you going to deal with them? You're just going to deal with them on the mundane. Okay? Just like here. The way I'm speaking now, My experience is many who have asked these kind of questions in the past, this is the last class I see them. Literally. There's been so many of them. So the point is if you have material attachment, can you speak like this? That's the point that's being made. Because my point is this is what the acharyas say. We have to try to understand it and see how it applies in our life. Right? And so therefore, then can the parent do that? If they can, then great. But the parent's not going to risk that loss. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. The teacher is. Because it's about the spiritual training. One can come up with all kinds of arguments, this and that, but they're all based on attachment. And not that parents aren't attached and they have to take care of everything. But they have to understand is that how many parents here in the community, mother dressed them up really nicely to go out and play in the snow, right? Like that. You know, it's at least 10 layers of cloth, the kid can't even put his arms down, right? When they go out into the snow and play with their friends, how many of them leave all that cloth on? You understand? Right? So now, the kid takes all that cloth off, and they play very nicely, they have a great time and all that, but in the process, they catch a cold. And lose half the stuff. Because, you know, we're fighting and it gets lost in the snow. Right? Okay. Now they come back inside. Who's to blame? Nobody. Parent will yell and scream this and that and it'll stop there. And the kid will grow up and be perfectly fine. Right? But if they're in a gurukul, then teachers don't know how to take care, they don't know this and that, so there's someone to blame. So that's the problem. Because there's someone to blame, they will. But previously, it was only themselves. The point is they grew up all right, despite all insanity. Their kid will grow up all right. You know? You try your best. You try to make it. You try to do everything nicely. But that's the thing. We don't have time to sit here and defend the Vedic educational system. Because we're talking about, I don't know, 5-6 hours straight. You know? And that's not the mandate of this discussion. The mandate's to try to understand that we're not, so then if there is another opportunity, you take it. If there's some way to somehow or another see that these opportunities can be developed within the society, we'd support it. But if we take the thing as, no, these things are all bad, we'll do it ourselves, then where's the human life? Fortunately, devotional service can be practiced by animals, as evidenced by Prabhupada's the Hare Krishna address. Right? You know, I say about everyone, even a child can take part, even a dog can take part. So that's where then Anatka we fit in. We won't buy that, but that's where basically we fit in. Does that make sense? So, trying to understand is, what, you know, it, sense, it's not supposed to, how was it that he was there? So the doubt is on, it's supposed to be this standard, why is it Ashutama is going to his father's group? That's a whole different question. But here, no, parents aren't supposed to do, they're not supposed to train. No, but here, Ashutama, his father trained him. Totally different question. You understand? One is in support of what the acharyas are giving us, and the other is opposed to what the acharyas are giving us. The point is we have to understand is that the attachment to the children is good in that we'll put in the effort to take care of them. But the bottom line is we're only taking care because we're attached. So depending upon how nicely we're attached, we're taken care of or not. Some parents are more attached, some parents less attached. They don't take care. The kids are out playing with the dogs. And after playing with the dogs, they get sick and they literally die. And in the Grihastha community, everyone, it happens. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because then it's the Grihastha scene, and it's based on attachment. But the teacher that he's talking about here, it's not because of their attachment. It's because of the duties to be done. You know, you take your car down to get it repaired. Are you looking for someone who knows their stuff and can repair it, or someone who's going to be attached to your car? You understand? His parents don't like that either. You know? Because it's a new attachment. The kids like it better than their own parents. And parents absolutely hate that. We've lost so many kids because the parents find the kids more attached to the school than the home. And they cannot handle that. They're Grihasthas to enjoy their kids at home. Why? And so their kids should be, since the kid went to school and the parent's miserable, why isn't the child miserable? And if the child's not miserable, they're happy. They'll pull them out because that shouldn't happen. But if the child is miserable, they'll pull them out and say, see, they shouldn't be there. So you can understand, I have not had a good experience over the last 30 years. Like I said, I have met one or two parents that were, I thought were solid. And then a whole bunch that are nice parents and, you know, cooperative and that, but outstanding and like that. Because it's always find the exception, break the rules. Anything's wrong, blame the school. Rather than, my kid behaves badly because he was behaving badly at home because I didn't train him properly. So now the school has to deal with that and try to make him less self-centered and so that he actually can cooperate, work with others, be sensitive to others and everything like that. No, but this kid said this, that kid said that, the school's so bad, they're so insensitive to so this and that. That's because their kid is totally insensitive. And so if it's not about them, they don't like it. And they tell their parents, which are exactly the same by the apple falling off the tree principle, is that therefore then the parents get upset. It can go on and on like this. So each case is unique because, as I said, every parent is different. And their particular attachments, what they're attached to, is different. So are we clear on this? If your question is, how is it that he is teaching them? Then that you can ask. But if you're saying that he's teaching him, so do we actually have to, you know, follow this Vedic recommendation? Then you understand? That's the whole point. So that's the whole point. Because at this point, I kind of expect this class is not going to ask those questions. Not that it means you have questions, you ask them, but I expect that in the morning when it's more general. The second class, that's where I expect it. But after so many years, I don't expect it at this class. Because these things just stop. When you're dealing with this, how do you understand the point that's being made? We're just dealing with issues. You know, issues is for, you know, the first two cantos. When you're dealing with the lotus feet of the Lord, issue, you know, go for it. But at this point, we should be, you know, at least learn how to present in a nice way our issues. You know what I'm saying? That's the only reason we keep the class open. Otherwise, then It has to be only those who are on this level do it. You know what I'm saying? And so to avoid that, we're trying to... You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, what you can understand is these are our own attachments. So 10th canto is bringing out, making us aware of our own attachments. Does that make sense? So we do the best. The point is we do the best we can. You know what the standard is? We try to bring our life as close to that standard as possible. But we don't make excuses for it. We just, that's the reality. So it is practical, meaning that that's all that can be done. Right? The balance between the facility that's there, our own attachments and needs, like that, we find a balance. And then we look at it realistically that then this is where we have to place ourselves. But as soon as we start to give out all these fancy philosophies of how it's so important, in fact, it's even better, you know, if he studies at home, then they'll get all that wonderful, you know, that motherly affection, and that'll make them so strong, and then they'll be able to go out and, you know, give shelter to the whole world and all that. And that's almost a literal, you know, how you say, dialogue that I've heard coming out of parents' mouths for why they're so attached and why... Instead of taking their kid for one day to the dentist, he's gone for three. You know, he's supposed to go out for 1 week, they bring him back after 5 months. Oh, but you know, you went on the preaching program and therefore now we've given you back a better student. I'm not joking. Those are direct quotes. And the guy was terrible. Took 5 months before he could actually function in a normal way. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm saying. When it comes to this topic, be a little careful. You know, other topics we have a little bit more tolerance. But if it was just a general topic we were saying, I would have more. But since I had just read the sentence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and this came up, to me that's just offensive. You know, it's just offensive. I don't appreciate it at all. Say what you like, but, you know, you directly oppose the Acharyas, then just be happy that there's no windows here. Defenestration is very mild. Because we're trying to understand what the Acharyas are saying. They set the standard. Then we take that and apply that into our life. We can't get caught on the words, you know, or things like that. We have a doubt that comes up. But the doubt is that what is there? Like you said, the mundane. So when you consider that, no, but it's going very well now. Yeah, it's going well now. How is it going to go well when they're into their teens? How is it going to go when they're supposed to retire? So that's the whole point, is the Acharyas know the whole package, because the point is, at the end of life, you're supposed to go back to Godhead. Why do you go back to Godhead? Because you remember Krishna. Why do you remember Krishna? Because there's no other shelter. Why is there no other shelter? Because you understand there is no other shelter in the material world. Doesn't matter. You know, friends, family, wife, husband, children, money, position, power, influence, beauty. None of these are shelter. Why? Because you've gone through it and you've tried to apply it. You've seen it actually is according to what Shastra says. So you're able to give it up. But if you can't give it up now when you're young, then how will you be able to give it up when you're old? Because is it working? Right? Do we have this huge community of dynamic vanaprastas in our society? We have a large amount of devotees, 50 and above. Right? Why? So that's the whole point, is we don't do that. And why is that? Because they never experienced this detachment at the time when they should have. So there's a time for everything. When When the kid first starts to walk, if you encourage them then, they'll walk very easily. But if he doesn't walk at that time, like there's been kids that have been, let's say, sick or in the hospital, so they couldn't walk at the regular time. Then when they try to walk when they're like 4 or 5, they can't walk. They actually have to bring in, you know, the guys that do, you know, people have accidents, the physiotherapists to teach them to walk. So that's the thing, there's a time for everything. So the parents think it's going fabulous, but is it actually in the long run when you look at the whole life? Because the rule is, don't become a parent, a mother, a father, you know, the king, the teacher, the demigod, the teacher, you know, whatever, the guru, unless you can save them from death. It doesn't say, can you teach them the material and they grow up and they, you know, and they're nice guys. It doesn't say that. If you can't do that, it says you can't save them from death. So when is the point for death? That's at the end. That's dependent on the whole lifetime. So that's what we're saying, is that maybe they can do. Great. But if it's so fabulous and so wonderful, why is it our acharyas and the Lord himself don't do that? Because even though it's great, it's better doing what's recommended. So much of the time saying, oh, I turned out all right, but it's actually despite we turned out all right. Not that it was okay. It was despite. Does it make some sense? Yeah. So one has to be careful how one approaches these questions when you're talking about the acharyas and directly opposing them. You know, a point is coming up, it's a general kind of discussion. You bring up the doubts, that's okay. But when the acharya directly says that, then we have to be very careful when we approach that. You know what I'm saying? That's the... Yeah.
Maharaj, here and places we see how mentality is related to the age.
Yes.
So, is there any... Like, progressive thing about this mentality, life, as a general, how a person mentally progresses, so that is there any direct spiritual relation, like we can enhance spiritual relation?
I'm not quite sure of what you're talking about.
You didn't understand the point?
No, I don't quite understand what's the point.
The point is, with age, this person matures spiritually if he's just going on with duties, or there's no...
What duties?
Like, if he performed his...
It's like this. If you're talking about mundane duties, you know, varnashram duties, so then we would have this huge, we'd have hundreds of millions of really situated and fabulous devotional, you know, solid, pure devotee Hindu parents, wouldn't we? So that's not worth it, right? The Mayavadis and that performing their duties, they're not becoming devotees. Right? We just go on with our life not worrying about Varnashram, then that means the whole of Delhi and Bombay, all the old people, they'd all be pure devotees. Beautiful. So, without association, how do you get that? You know, so if the parents are able to associate with pure devotees, and then catching that mood themselves are able to give that to their children, then great. But just the principle that I as a parent can raise my child to be fully Krishna conscious, I don't need teachers, I don't need senior Vaishnavas to do that, that would be against Shastra. And I would have my doubt that it ever actually happens. People will say it happens, but people say all kinds of stuff happens. You know what I'm saying?
The purpose of at a particular age, we read the mentality because we know what is the door to inject how the person...
The point is that you have so many factors happening. So that's why then the Vedic has recommended this, because they know all the things from the Ayurvedic, from the astrological, from the yogic, you know, all these different things, because you have the Kumara. So, because Kumara, what does that mean? Kumara means, you know, dead, right? So Kumara means easily they die. So that's why they're with the parents, they take care of the... So that's where all that attachment that the parents have for the children shines. Because they're attached, they're always there, they're always taking care of everything, they take care of everything for the kid. The kid grows up, he gets healthy, right? He learns from the parents because they're cultured, how to be cultured, how they speak, they teach him how to speak, how they eat, they teach him like that. So he learns all the basic, you could say, religious elements like that, especially from the mother. Right? You know, that kind of practical view of things, he'll learn that from the father. So then you have something solid. Right? But then after that, then it depends on the child. What is their you know, aspect of attachment, or that the family's more attached, then naturally it's going to be older that they go to the school, have that more spiritual inclination, younger that they'll go. Does that make sense? So this kind of things then have to be seen. So then from that age, then the next, the Pauganda, then they can start to do things, this and that. But from 9, Prabhupada says, so basically up to 9, you can put them in any situation, teach them anything, and it works. But from 9, if they want to do it, you can do it, they'll take part. And if they don't want, you can't force it. So that means if you want to put them into a spiritual environment where they like being in it, when do they have to go to it? Before that, okay. Then you have the next thing, you have puberty. How does that work out for all the parents of the world? Right? Yeah. So, then that aspect there, sadhus have made the point, you know, talking from the Varnashram, they give the example, I think it's from the Upanishads, that if you have a river, and in the rainy season it floods, when do you put up the sandbags? When it's flooding? Before. So that means to train them in what's brahmacharya, you have to do that before they hit puberty. And if you haven't, then to train it at that time, I have so many parents that say, oh, you have to, you know, when you send the kids, yeah, soon, you know, just a little more, you know, we want to put that in and this and that. And then when the kid won't listen to them anymore, that's when they bring him to school. You know, he needs some discipline. He needs some... Like this, it's like, oh my God. Like that. So that's the difficulty. Is that then how do you deal with it? The kid may make it, and much of the time doesn't. Right? Because he has no reference to work from. So that's the second thing that you're working with. Right? The third thing that you're working with is your planets. When they mature... Right, so at 16, then Jupiter matures. So then, now being able to teach them all that fine, you know, scientific, the transcendental, the more esoteric, metaphysical, you can do all that at that time. Right, but then basically the window closes. But at the same time, at 16, now they're adults. They don't identify as kids anymore. 15-year-olds are the big kid on the block. 16-year-olds are the youngest adult. They're just how they look. 15-year-olds look back. They're the biggest there. 16-year-olds look forward. Right? But because it's new, then they're spaced out. So then by the time they're 19, now they can really focus. So 19, 20, 21, you have a very good run there. Right? Just like when they got a little bit their heads on screwed on from 8, 9, and 10, you know, before they hit 11. Right? So you have those years, those 6 years you can really do something with. Is what happens at 22. Then, who matures at that time? Son matures at that time. So then false ego comes up. So we have so many boys graduate at 22. Because I've learned everything. There's nothing more you can teach me. Now I'm the big man. And Prabhupada mentioned 25 because now that they have that knowledge, they have to learn how to use that false ego and identify properly. Then they can graduate. But otherwise they go out, then they'll spend all that time to figure out who they are, because what they think they are and who they are is two different things. So then they learn how to do all that. So now with this false ego, or that sense of ego and identity or confidence, then they can learn to still how to use that dishonoring. So when Prabhupada said 5 to 25, it's not arbitrary.
Even if it's much more than what we understand.
That's what I'm saying. It's so far beyond what we understand. By 50, because these chakras, you know, they control your life for 7 years. So 7 chakras, 49 years. You've gone through that whole phase. 50 means you start over again. So when you turn 50, it resets back to 1. Now that gives all the basic fundamental and this and that, but it also is to deal with just self-centeredness, sense gratification, and all that. Now, if you have proper training and all that, then at 50 you can start to use it to go into this. And if not, what happens with the Western 50-year-olds? The new life, the new me, the new that, you know. The new wife, the new, you know, new everything. Right? So it's set that whatever it is that you did before, as a teenager, as a, you know, in your 20s, the plans that you set, I'm going to get this degree, get this job, I'm going to make this money, have this house, have this car, have this family, all those things you planned, and you've been working on it like a, you know, like seriously, until that point, like that. I'll let you all fill in the blanks on the appropriate Bhagavatam slokas. So, up to there. And then what happens at 50? It resets, so now you look at it, and it didn't work. You did not become happy. Because I have a house, I'm not happy. I have a family, I have kids, I'm still not happy. I have my Porsche, I'm still not happy. Right? And so then if you're Krishna conscious, then you understand the material world doesn't have anything to offer. That's why you're not. So that's then why naturally one goes into Vanapras. So at 50, one goes to Vanapras. There's some this and that, daughter to get married, this, that. You know, it takes a few more years. But the point is at 50 you should be thinking about it, and as soon after that as you can, then you move into that mode. The kids, that now they can be the big grihasthas with the plans and all that kind of stuff. You understand? But if you're not, then you'll change directions. Whatever, you go in a new direction, go back to school, change jobs, make a new company, you know, get out your bucket list. You know, you do all, oh, it's insane what they do. They call it midlife crisis. But they call it midlife. The Vedic calls it end of life crisis. Because from 50, you're old. Right? So up to 5, you're Kumara. 5 to 10, then you're Pauganda, right? Then 10 to 15, you're Kishore. And then 16 to 30, you're Yovana. 30 to 50, you're middle-aged. 50 and above, you're old. Right? So it's not exactly midlife. I mean, if you're living to 100 years, yes. But still, even you live to 100, that's the time frame. You understand? So then you have to go through it again. Now it's at a more mature state. So if you're Krishna conscious, you can deal with that in a more mature state. So then as it goes up, it gets better and better. Just like going up through the chakras got better and better. Right? So that's the whole thing. You have to know what's going on. Otherwise, so many people in that, what's it, 42 to 49, they seriously think about Vanaprastha and this and renunciation, detachment. They talk about it all the time. But when they hit 50, the chakras reset and they stop talking about it. So it was just the modes of nature. It wasn't actually an understanding. Otherwise, they'd be applying it. You know, nice, good sentiment. You know, hopefully it'll come up again when it goes around for the second time, you know, from that, or what do you call it? The, you know, how you say, 93 to 100, you know. Yeah, hopefully, you know, it's like that. You know. So that's the point, is that one has to see that these are all there because you have so many things happening at once. The West has zero idea about this. In fact, they're opposed to any idea. So they have less than an idea. Right? So that's the point. before they had families, they stayed together, there was very minimal divorce and things like that. You know, people had community, a sense of identity, sense of purpose, all these different things in their life. So that means they were following something that they've been doing for thousands of years, and it basically worked. Right? Even though they're a bunch of maleches and yavanas, still it works. But then when they throw all that out, you know, in the modern concept, no, we make our own destiny, we do all this and that and stuff like that, nice. But then what? How is that working out? It's not going well. There is no sense of any community or this or that. People, you know, come together and have a moment where they have that kind of feeling, you know, like that. But then after that, you know, that's the whole difficulty. You know, it's like now they come together, they have a parade, and then they all feel it's all good and glorious, but nothing happens, right? Before, every day was good and glorious, that they came together for a parade. Something changed, like the government or something, you know. So they didn't need to have a parade to feel good. They felt good on a daily basis. They generally had a parade when things were bad. So that was slightly different. So the difficulty comes is because we're dealing with something so much bigger. When the acharyas say this, then we have to try to understand it in line with what the acharyas are saying. Like that. What is their mood? That's what we're trying to catch. As we saw, Braj has a mood that separates it from Mathura, Dwarka, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya. So therefore, if we don't catch the mood of the acharyas, where are we going to end up? Because it's mood that sets you where they are. You know what I'm saying? The rules just express that mood. If we don't catch the mood, does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point. So many things are there. That's why I said, you got 6 hours, we can maybe talk about it. If you don't have 6 hours, we won't be able to go through all the different things. You know? So that's the whole thing.
But Siddhanta Saraswati here, he states that the juvenile innocence is a necessity for both the young and the old. So why is it such an important part of the development?
Because if you didn't have it when you're young, you won't be able to fall back on it when you're old, like I said before. That simple life that you don't need much, that Krishna is taking care, that's vanaprastha. Because you're retired, you just step back, just what's necessary. That's, his point is if you've been a grihastha for 25, 30 years, do you not know what things you actually wear, what things you actually need to eat, what things you actually need to do, what things actually work better? So that's what you do. Vanaprastha, you just do that. Right, grihastha, there's the idea, well, maybe that'll be, maybe that. You know, I have that pair of shoes, maybe I'll be able to wear it. They're so cool. And, you know, in that 30 years, you got to wear it twice. So what does that mean? That means vanaprastha means give it in charity. Right? To some other young guy who thinks he'll be able to wear it. And the shoes that were only worn 5 times in a century. Yeah, like that. Does that make sense? You know? You know, it's like, what do you call it? You know, the picture, you know, the painting with Louis wearing his shoes, right? Now, those are good shoes, right? Those are totally over the top, but that's what he wore, you know? So, it worked. You know? So, yeah? You know what I'm saying? Is that, yeah? So the whole point is that try to catch the mood first, then go into the questions. Then you'll find that the getting the technicalities and all that works so much easier. You know what I'm saying? You have to be very, very careful. Okay. Because it says, once such relationship is grasped to be an obstacle in the way of juvenile training, the necessity of sending the boy at the earliest opportunity to the proper teacher becomes self-evident. So it means if it's not self-evident, it means one hasn't grasped it, actually. So it's not, he's pointing out just something that would be nice. He's pointing out what's the actual standard. If the parent continues to retain his parental interest in the boy after he's been put into school for the above purpose, he will only be standing in the way of the boy's progress, as I've evidenced over the last 30 years. The training is not for the boy only, but it's a training for the parents as well. But the parents don't want to be trained. They want to maintain that attachment. So even if the boy is being trained, are the parents being trained? So then how are they going to be ready for death? Now what happens when the kids move on? Right? Kids grow up, they move out, the house is empty, right? Now, what have you one done? One starts with a small place, then tries to get a bigger place, and then one gets a big monster place, and then generally a year or two later the kids all leave. Now you have this monster place with nobody, and then what? Then what do you do? So are the parents prepared for that? No. So many parents, they flip out. They're here, they want to be in Mayapur and this and that, and then when they have this monster empty house, they can't deal with it. They leave. And go and get some small little dinky apartment in the West. Why not just get rid of the house and get a small place here? That, you know, it says Mayapur and the kids aren't here, and so how can I function? And, you know, no, you happen to have the fortune to raise your kids in Mayapur. But Mayapur is not about raising kids. Mayapur is about, you know, becoming Krishna conscious. And being Krishna conscious, you can also raise your kids. You know what I'm saying? So this whole thing is that how well does it go for parents? It's a common thing. The day that the son went off to school and the daughter got married and it's just the two of them sitting there in this big old house, it's an extremely empty day. So are they prepared? It says the training is not for the boy only, but it's training for his parents as well. So they didn't get trained. Even if they said, boy's trained, they didn't get trained. And then they'll see when he gets that age, he won't be trained either. So, what's the training? He got his occupational thing. Yes, he's a nice, neophyte devotee, you know, kind of works his sadhana in and, you know, does things like that and, you know, great. Does that make sense? So he's a nice guy. You know, not that the world doesn't need nice guys. But, you know, does that make sense? Yeah, okay. Boyish naughtiness is apt to be overlooked, nay, encouraged on the impression that it is nature to be naughty. Yes, they're going to be naughty, but it's the parents' business and the teacher's business to see that they learn not to be naughty. Like that. This opinion overlooks the all-important factor that the training is intended for the welfare of the soul of the boy and not for the juvenile body or mind. They'll say, oh no, but this is the time when they just have to express. The soul doesn't need to express that. So, point is that these things come up and therefore then you engage it. You see that it goes nicely. Then they get trained properly. Are we all still comfortable here? Are we freaking out that Swami's going off the rails here? No, we're okay? So, you have to see that aspect of the soul. Is the soul developing? Because the soul doesn't need to do that. Because what is going to happen with the soul doing that? They get more of an idea that, yes, I can enjoy. Because you have to remember, you have this cute five-year-old. Okay? So, then they're in the womb for a year. Then they're sleeping for that, trying to rest up for 9 months before that. So that's 7 years. What were they before that? The five-year-old, what was he 7 years ago? Right? Some old person. Right? So how much did they see that enjoyment in the world was actually viable? Not much. They kept a little bit of desire, hoping that it was. That's why they took birth again. And now in that juvenile, if it's not directed, then they'll see, yeah, you can enjoy it. And so then the flame is just brought up. Does that make sense? So that's why one has to be very careful about that. I think it was, may have been in Los Angeles back in the 80s or 70s. Pre-Dynamite Mars says, you see a five-year-old kid, I see a 90-year-old man. Because he sees that just a few years ago, he was this 90-year-old guy. So that's why it's, yes, they will be naughty. So you deal with it. You don't get upset that they're naughty, but it doesn't mean that it's not dealt with if it's inappropriate. Where they go over the line, it has to be corrected, they have to be trained, they have to be taught, they have to know the standard. But, you know, they're given that space, they can go out, but at the same time, it's held in check. It's not just sat back and thought it's funny, right? See this little, I think it was a 3 or 4 year old like that coming out of the restaurant one day, and some other devotees came along, and this little kid started insulting them. Really, really badly. And the parents and all the parents' friends, they all just laughed. You know? Oh, so funny. So cute. And so what's said here is that can't be allowed. Culture can't be... You can't be uncultured. You may be a little rambunctious, but you can't be uncultured. They're two different things. Otherwise, the soul won't learn anything. They'll just think, oh, being insulting to others, being self-centered and all that is appreciated. It's cute. And then when you get bigger and the girls don't appreciate it, then you wonder, what happened? You know, my mom taught me being self-centered, being totally about myself, and, you know, getting on everybody's case and all that was something that she and her friends really enjoyed. So now why is it this girl doesn't like it? Why is it my wife doesn't like it? Why doesn't my daughter like it? So how is it beneficial? How is it beneficial? That's the point, is we look at things on such a small circle, when the big circle, that's what the Vedas look at. You know, because you're talking about basically a lifetime of Brahma. That's going to be, you know, what you're dealing on. And in a lifetime of Brahma, then, you know, that's going to be 360 of his, 100 of his years, right? So it's 360 days times 100. So one of his days, then is 14 manvantars, right? And then one manvantar, that's going to be, you know, 71 yuga cycles. And you understand? We come down from here. That's how the Vedas work it out. But we just work on... I got married, so now no one needs to give me any advice because I'm the world's expert on marriage. Right? That's what I see. And then, when they have a child, now they're the world's expert on raising children. They have one kid. No experience. Right? So then how do they do? They grew up in a big family, you know, one of these Indian families with 50 kids, and they helped raise so many of their, you know, siblings or cousins. Okay, then you can say they have some understanding. But generally they're the ones that understand how to deal, and they appreciate. The ones that don't, they're the ones that have zero. Because they're doing it, they're attached, they're doing it. That's why it's now, it's happening, it's in their consciousness. No one else is this attached. I don't see it happening anywhere else because they're not attached to your kid. You know, great revelation. They're attached to their own kid. Right. So then the problem comes is that's the circle they're working on. So what I'm doing, this is perfection. They don't understand that what they're doing may work today, maybe. But tomorrow will it work? Will it work the next day? That's the thing. Yes? Okay. The soul does not require to be treated with indulgence. He is neither young nor old in the worldly sense. The body and mind of the boy have to be employed in the interest of the soul. Boyish naughtiness and boyish virtue are alike unnecessary for the soul. So say, oh, but he's such a nice boy. But is that necessary for the soul? Being Krishna conscious is what's necessary. So now if we're thinking, so that means he could grow up and be nasty and all that as long as he's Krishna conscious, it says, this is the stuff I'm talking about. Why go there? Right? Try to have more control on your mind, that it doesn't always come up with the opposite just to, you know, break authority. So he's trying to point out what's actually the real thing here, which is Krishna consciousness. Because we tend to think it's the, you know, if we're willing to accept religion, we'll accept that, or what parts of religion we like, then we'll accept that. You know? So whatever it is that we've accepted in our sadhana, or in little bits and pieces of varnashram, or whatever little bits are there from our life, you know, from our upbringing, then we put all, and we think that's the real thing. But actually, Krishna consciousness is the real thing, not anything else. So that aspect is something, if we appreciate that, then that makes the 10th canto so special. Why? Because in here, in the Vrindavan pastimes, the only thing that's going on is that focus and attention on Krishna. There isn't anything else going on. It just doesn't happen. There isn't anything else. That's special. And so all these other issues and this and that, they may have these, but they're according to the scriptures, according to the culture, and they're Krishna conscious. So they're fully Krishna conscious and they're following the culture. Right? It appears, though it's mundane, but the point is the example is given. One can do the same thing. If one doesn't have that attachment, and it's attachment to Krishna, then it works very nicely. So one can be a grihastha, raise the kids, have money, do all the different things, but one sees these are just the duties to do. So that's what it says. It should just be done. Your duty is done. Right? Like that. I think that's Jagannanda Pandit. He mentions, you know, the Vaishnava performs their duties, performs their sadhana, you know, remembers Krishna, does everything in connection to Krishna. No, no, because attachment is there in the spiritual world. It's the attachment to Krishna. See, why do we point out that we have to give up material attachment? What's the actual purpose of that? That's right. It's not that we're saying these things so that people will feel bad. Oh, I'm attached, so I'm a rat badge, right? So, no. The point is that, because unless one is willing to give up that attachment, then Krishna can do, because as it says here, Krishna, there's certain things we do, there's certain things Krishna does. So we surrender, Krishna then takes care. Right? He'll kill Vatsasura. We can't kill Vatsasura. But we have to be willing to allow that to happen. Right? That's the whole thing. Does that make sense? So that's why we bring it out. But generally we catch that's the real thing. Krishna consciousness, you're controlling the senses, you know, you're not doing anything with it. You eat nothing nice, see nothing nice, smell nothing nice, wear nothing nice, do nothing nice, and nothing's nice, and so that's Krishna conscious. Right? Right? And so that's the way you think, yeah, he's hardcore, like that, yeah. You know, but the whole point is no, Krishna conscious is being Krishna conscious. Right? So doing those things because that's what's recommended, it pleases Krishna, that's why you're doing it, then nice. But it itself, it doesn't actually have anything to do with the soul. Because the soul is not the body. So if the body is a grihastha or the body is a sannyasi, what does that got to do with the soul? Because the soul's neither. So unless one's servant of Krishna, that's what the soul is. Now you can be a servant as a sannyasi or as a grihastha. Does that make sense? So that's the point that he's bringing out here. This is the angle. Catching that angle, then trying to apply that, how I'll apply this into my life, then a question based on that, now that's of great value. Like that. Because the doubt should be, how will I apply this in my life? Not, I doubt that this is a good point, a valid point. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to bring out. That you're going to apply it, like Prabhu was saying in the morning. Sambandha's discussed, Prayojan is discussed. Who discusses Abhideya? So that's the whole thing. We're trying to get it to the Abhideya. There's no, but this one can do this, and that one did that, and that's just Sambandha stuff. But Abhideya is not, well, how am I going to apply this in my life? How does this apply to me? So for me, I can see this, and so this attachment is there, that's there, so how will that apply here? Because if I do it like this, then it'll work nicely here, but then that part will be a problem. If I don't do that and I do it this other way, then it'll create a problem on the other side. So how do I reconcile this? Right? So that's then application. Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to get to. Right? It is necessary for the soul to be freed from either form of worldliness, right? Because you have to give that up, as we'll see when we get to the Gopi Gita. Those gopis that still maintain that material sense of good and bad, they didn't go to the Rasa dance. Right? But those who saw it's only about absorption in Krishna, they went. So it has some long-term effect that we have to know. His point is, if we don't get rid of it now, we have to get rid of it later. So would you rather have a problem now and be able to go to the Rasa dance, or it seems great now and not be able to go to the Rasa dance? Because, let me tell you, the anxiety you'll feel then is going to be millions of times worse than whatever you're feeling now, even though now feels like eternity. The mundane nature of the boy is no less a clog to the wheel of spiritual progress than the adult nature of the grown-up worldly. So therefore, if you just train him in that, in the material things, then what have you done for them? Because it's a problem as a boy, it will be a problem as an adult. So if you get rid of it as a boy, then you save so much problem as an adult. That's the whole thing. Just like this, if you accept that, I don't need much stuff, right, for the boy. And so therefore, he's getting by with his two dhotis, or three dhotis, because the three dhotis is because sometimes they have a festival or this or that, so you don't get to wash your dhoti that day, so then you still have a dhoti. But that's the only reason you have three. Plus, if you wear two regularly, one looks a little better, that's the one you wear on the festival. Right? So like that. So three, then you cycle that, that's it. And if you see that works for everything, and that's worked for the last 10, 20 years, then when you get married, now if you have 5, 6, 10 sets, you're living it up. Right? Right? And so how much will that cost you? Not much. Right? So now, because you don't need any more, you're satisfied. Where does that mean all your money can go? Right? Now, what happens if the problem is the boy doesn't and he just takes on the mom's mood and she's always collecting more, shopping more, he wants more. He never wears it, wasn't going to wear it. It's all piled all over everything, everywhere. He's got to have that new t-shirt, new this, new that, and never uses them. Then, when he gets married, then it's a competition. His wife gets something, he has to get something. You went shopping, I have to go shopping. No, I go shopping, she goes shopping 9 times. I go shopping, and she goes like that. That's how it works. Like that. That's the whole point. So, you get one, you get one little accessory, she gets a full outfit. You get another accessory, she gets a full outfit. Like that, until by the time she's gotten 9 full outfits, now you have 1 full outfit. That's the way it works. So, how does that work? Unless he's detached, how is that going to function? And if that doesn't function, how is household life going to work? So if it's just he thinks like his mom thinks, then, you got two ladies in one house. How does that work? Right? That's why there's so much fighting nowadays. It's two women. If you have a man and a woman, less fighting. If you have two women, plenty of fighting. right? Until it's established of the two women, which one's the man? Then it's okay. Right? Then it works. Okay. The process of training is identical in the two cases, as the soul is neither young nor old. So the training for the adults is the same as the training for the kids. That's why training the kids is training for the adults. So if you don't train the kid properly, the adult won't be trained properly. So it's all part of the same process. Just as the child has to be learned to become detached, parents have to learn to become detached. So how can the parent be detached when their child's being detached? Because they were detached as a child. Right? You went to the school, so you're not at home, therefore you learn to become detached. Then you get married, have children, now they go to the school. You can handle that because you went to the school and weren't attached. Does that make sense? But if you didn't go to the school and are not detached, and when your kids go to the school, you can't be detached. You learn nothing. That's the whole point. Such irrational pity is wasted on boys who are employed from early infancy in the full-time service of Krishna. Oh, much irrational pity on exactly the same terms as grown-up persons. Persons who affect much kindness of disposition towards juvenile frailties profess to be unable to understand why juvenile offenses are taken as seriously in spiritual training as those of adult persons. Because the point is that it's the same soul. They don't start learning now. The point is if it's like, you know, Prabhupada gives the example, if you're going a long distance, there's a trajectory, and you're going over, you know, a very long distance. If you're off by 1 degree, the farther it is, the bigger the distance. So you're off by 1 degree when you're 5. How far off are you when you're 50? You know? Like it's like a different continent. You know, so that's the whole point, is that because you're dealing with the soul, it's there. You deal with them according to their position. But the point is being trained in what is correct and what's not correct is the same standard for everybody. Because it's the standard for the soul. That's the point. Okay? Now how you'll deal with the child then will be different than how you'll deal with adult. But the point is you have to affect the same change, the same understanding, the same education. That's why in the Vedic system there is no children's education. There's only adult education for children. So there's a way to teach adult education to children. Right? Those who understand that, then can this point will be easy for them. For those who think no, children are different, they don't have the same standard, same anything, then they've missed the point that's being made here, that the soul is not the body. The soul is not the child. The soul always thinks the same. They may be more or less conscious, but according to what they're conscious of, that's the sphere you deal in. That's the language you use. That's the mood you use. That's the... Does that make sense? Okay.
That's why we say the teachings are universal, right?
Sorry?
That's why we can say the teachings are universal?
Yes, that's why we can say the teachings are universal. Okay. Because they apply to everyone. Mm-hmm. So this idea is, no, they'll only apply to Indians, they can't apply to Americans. That's saying that, but the soul's not American, it's not Indian. You know, Prabhupada points that out quite early. Okay. Is that we are souls. So therefore, then we take what is the actual conditioning and use that. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the teacher in charge of the spiritual training of boys can perform his duty by them only as the special agent of Krishna. Right? So it's not that he's just, I'm the teacher, so now I do what I like. No, it's only if you are then representing Krishna. What is Krishna wanting to be done? How they'll become Krishna conscious. You understand? So just as it has that strictness for the boy and for the parents, it has the same strictness for the teacher. Because everybody is supposed to learn from the process. So everybody learns according to their position. Right? Now the child's the child, the parent's the parent, the teacher's the teacher. But that child with time will become the parent and will become a teacher. So it's the same thing. So if you don't, having learned it as the child, how you'll be able to teach it as the parent or teacher. That's the whole idea. If such a teacher chooses to confide in his own devices, he is bound to be undeceived at every step. What he has really to do is to use the boy constantly in the service of Krishna. For this purpose, it is necessary for the teacher himself to be a full-time servant of Krishna. It is only by abstaining from anything that is not distinctively commanded by Krishna or his real agent, the guru, that the spiritual teacher of the boys can hope to be of any help to his pupils. So that's the whole point, is that the teachers then should be able to focus directly on just spiritual activities and training. So that's why the Brahminical order is supported, because then they can do that. Most schools can't actually function because they can't get teachers, because the teachers can't be maintained, because no one maintains Brahmins. And so that's the problem. So you see is that the turnover of teachers is very great. And so it's a big, big difficulty. So the point is the teacher is supposed to be full-time engaged in devotional activities and training the children how to be engaged in the same way. Then it works very nicely. Right? That's the whole point. Because you can't do both. See, the parent, they'll put in a few hours a day to with their kids. Literally, that's it. Kids will get up the last generally in the house, go to bed the earliest, right? They get up, eat breakfast, go to school. They'll go out and play with their friends. They'll come back in the evening. There's a little time. Then there's dinner. And then they're off to their room. Maybe they do their homework. They go to bed. So how much actual time did the parents have with the child to have influence? Right? But then the teacher, they get up. The boys get up at whatever time it is. That's when the teachers are up, if not before. They're with the children all the way through everything they do the whole day until they go to sleep. That's not understood. Where's the time to do something else? The parent thinks, I'm taking care of my kid and I'm maintaining himself. Why can't the teachers maintain themselves? Because the job's different. Right? So that's the whole point. It's not seeing what's actually happening. So the teacher then, he has to see everything. He has to be Krishna conscious, see everything in relationship to Krishna, and be giving that to the children. That's the Upanishadic principle. You hear, right? Then you practice, contemplate it and practice. From that you realize it, and having realized it now, you teach it to others and make them like yourself. So that's the process of education. It has four stages. So the point is those who realize and can make others like themselves, that's who you're looking for as the teacher that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said you should train the children. So that makes sense. That's what you're trying to do. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Prabhupada ki.